comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say it's all right.
It's a little bit after four here on KDNK, and you are tuned to Everything Under the Sun, a little half-hour news segment we do with the staff of the Soper Sun and whatever guests we can bring in. Megan Tackett of the Soper Sun is here with me in the studio. I'm Will Grambois, the editor, and we have a guest with us today.
Yes, Kyle Raymond.
How you doing, everyone?
And also, we're trying to get Andrea Stewart from the Chamber on the phone. Andrea, are you there?
I'm there. Hello.
Great. Thank you for holding and your patience. So we're going to chat. We've got a couple of cool stories, I think, on our page three this week. One Megan did about restaurants in town, and one I did, which was a kind of a survey of our current commercial situation. And Andrea, who is, as I said, with the Chamber, can speak to us a little bit about the state of things on that front. Since we've got you on the phone, can we start with you, Andrea? What have you seen over the past year in terms of kind of the business community and what's going on there?
Sure. So I feel like just in the past year, I think the vibrancy throughout Carbondale has really continued to thrive. I feel that the business spirit, general business owners and employees, you know, numbers are up, and it's a good feeling. And, you know, I think, especially as you mentioned in the article in this week's Soper Sun, I think that's also reflected with the number of businesses opening in Carbondale or expanding, such as The Beat, and just different entities that are really, you know, flourishing, whether that's growing internally or bringing on a new line of product or that entree. I really see it happening.
I missed a chunk of that. There was some poor connection going on, but hopefully just the very end there. So, Andrea, a couple things you highlighted, and then maybe you can highlight something else, and then we'll get into the specifics of what's going into where town used to be. You talked about the 200 block as being particularly cool, and you talked a little bit about Glen X. Those two things, how are they reshaping Carbondale?
Yeah, I think for one, there's not as much vacant space in that 200 block. You'll notice there's DJs on Main, which is a great boutique with different artists' artwork in there. It's a great gallery. There's Wyeth Apothecary right next door. We have Fiore Hair Salon, which just celebrated a birthday. Across the street from there is a new tattoo parlor, not to mention the construction, just that wrapped up in the past few months at the Carbondale Animal Hospital. And then, you know, you keep moving down, and it's really exciting to see, you know, with Marble Distilling Company and the Clay Center, there's just a lot of vibrancy there.
Yeah, it seems like it. You know, just even Timbers Resorts and they're kind of behind the scenes. They're in the whole top of a building. You know, they used to be kind of spread out in the building next door, and that's happening on the 200 block. And that, there's a little room for expansion there, but you know, especially with the sort of antique store that used to be on the corner that is no longer there's that's one of the few sort of Main Street frontage spaces left. Meanwhile, Town, which has been kind of the one that caught a lot of attention at the end of last year, it looks like that's going to be filled in the not-so-distant future?
That it is. We're looking to get at least some elements of the restaurant running within a month. We'll be doing a breakfast cafe in that front space. So we think we can get that available to the public within a month and have another entity for people to spread out and try some new things and different and different ingredients and way we're going to do things. So
cool. Do you think that folks who were like who have missed town, who kind of liked having that, you know, somewhat upper crust but still accessible breakfast opportunity, is that a group you're catering to?
Yeah, that's exactly what we think we can fit into. You know, with the business days Monday through Friday, we'll have a grab and go stations. You know, picking up things that are easily portable. Hot pastries, things of that nature, so people can grab and go on the weekends. You know, we definitely open up that beautiful patio in the space that we have for a full sit-down brunch and lunch. So that would be what we're really looking forward to.
And then dinner wise, is that kind of waiting on the liquor license?
It is. Yeah, we have that in the works. So as the liquor license comes through, then we can move into our dinner operation. But that being said, it isn't too far off. You know, that as you start working, those dates seem very, very close together. So once we get things going.
what kind of food are you thinking would kind of be the backbone of the dinner?
So the backbone of our dinner, you know, we're going to be rotisserie. That is kind of the baseline. And then with that being said, we can work with a lot of different proteins, very shareable large plates, and filling that in with very seasonable shared plates, small plates. So we can fill in the pieces. So it's a very, very communal eating style. Bringing groups in would be fun. And you can just order a lot of different items, and then have a beautiful rotisserie chicken, prime rib. I mean, just the things that we can do off that is going to be really fun to play with for us as well.
Now, rotisserie chicken and prime rib doesn't sound like your cup of tea, Megan, but you did talk to four different, or at least check in on four different potential restaurants opening in the next couple months. What might be more up your alley?
Well, Kyle has assured me that they're going to be using a lot of seasonally produced veggies, so I'm looking forward to shared small plates. That's the talent that every vegetarian, I think, develops over time, is I can totally make a meal by combining sides. But Kenichi Izakaya is also going in, and not to be confused with the higher-end sushi that Kenichi Aspen serves. This one's going to be coming in, and from what Brent Reed told me, he guesstimated about 40% of that menu is likely going to be vegetarian, because it's based off of Kiyo Musonu, who's the master chef of Big Kenichi. He always did these, like, cool family style, you know, Japanese home cooking. He raised two kids in the valley. He had that kind of parental instinct. And after a hard night, they'd close up the restaurant and he'd make staff meals. And everyone would rave that these single bowl, very veggie centric meals were better than what was on the menu. So that's the inspiration for that, which is another kind of Aspen-based outfit and people coming down and reinvesting in Carbondale. Because Kyle, for people listening who don't know you guys, the three of you are new to Mid and Down Valley, right?
Yes, we are. I've been 10 years in Aspen cooking throughout restaurants there.
What restaurants might people recognize from?
Got my start at Mezzaluna. That was my first executive chef position, and then moved, bounced around to their Vail location and back to Aspen. I went through the Caribou Club, and most recently was the chef at Grey Lady.
Great. And your partners also have kind of similar experiences?
They do. My one partner was the owner and proprietor from Over Easy. And when they were bought out, their building for reconstruction is when he started to hunt for a new location. And as he was hunting, the opportunity to come down here to Carbondale and to fill that town space, which we just, you know, everyone loves, we loved it too. We wanted to get down there. And my third partner, has been in the Valley for 15 years as well. More sushi, centric, I could say, but he has opened up sake. He was at base camp for a while, and Takasushi. So we all have come together down here to Carbondale.
No shortage of experience on that venture, for sure.
Right. Yeah, I love when Miladin was talking to me, because his background is more in the breakfast from Over Easy.
Absolutely.
And his intention, he told me, was to open another breakfast spot. And then when the town space became available, he was just like, well, it's so gorgeous, you can't not do dinner service here. So I thought that was pretty neat. I'm looking forward to it. And then, of course, the Beat is opening feverishly. They had originally hoped for a late June, early July kind of opening, but as these things so often happen, it just one thing after another. So I'm really looking forward to that. And that is going to be 100% vegetarian menu. And I remember in an earlier interview, it was described to me as, you know, vegetarian food for people who are skeptical of vegetarian fare, right? So that should be very cool. And then 689 will open when 689 opens at the end of the summer. So
not 689.
But right, the, not 689. The 689
former
space.
689 space, whatever they decide to call it. It's
yes,
not going to be
name
10
pending.
Can. It's not going to be, yeah. We details are a little scarce on that one. They were
right?
The hardest to pin down. Andrea, are you still on the line?
I am.
What's your take on, I mean, just kind of this, it seems like all our vacant restaurant space is getting filled. That's pretty cool. Got to be exciting for the Chamber.
It is very exciting. I feel that, you know, over the years, Carbondale has really had its fame you know, with arts and culture and dining. And so it's really fun to have all of these additional options to really complement what Carbondale already has to offer in regards to dining. So again, I think it will really draw from throughout the valley, just people coming to check us out and, you know, do all things Carbondale, whether it's come, you know, to Carbondale, do a hike or a mountain biking ride and stop in for breakfast or brunch or lunch and stay and, you know, visit our galleries and do some retail shopping and then have dinner. So I think it really complements what we have to offer already and just continues to give more reason for locals and, you know, the larger valley.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, hopefully the Carbondale locals are going to be the biggest beneficiaries of having more choices. It's been funny to me to hear people who have been here, you know, 30, 40 years say, man, you know, without town, it seems really light here. We don't have a lot of choice. And I'm going, seriously? You were here in a time when you had the Smithy for breakfast and lunch and Tejo's for dinner, and maybe you got some runzas at the bakery, and that was your choice. So it seems to me like we're just this, you know, I was talking to Jay Harrington on this subject, mm-hmm. and it seems like this is as full as we've been. You know, 7-8, we were kind of pushing this, but there's been some new buildings that, you know, that was right around when I think 689 was going away. So it seems like we have more to choose from once all this fills out, assuming, you know, I'm knocking on wood that we're not losing any other spaces than we have in a long time. Does that feel accurate to you guys?
Absolutely. It's really neat to see. And each little place is got their own niche, you know, so the competition is not directed at one type of fare. So there's a lot of options for people to go around and really kind of choose. And the competition, you know, raises that bar for all the restaurants as well. So we look forward to getting in.
Yeah, Andrea, anything else you're excited about that's kind of coming in new or edgy that's not restaurant based, since that's kind of what we're focusing on?
Ooh, good question. I wasn't thinking about that.
Well, you know, you mentioned the Monkey House to me, so I thought
yes.
You might.
Oh, yeah. That's super edgy. So we're so excited. The Monkey House Carbondale will be opening this summer. It's an indoor rock climbing gym, and it is state of the art. So, you know, you'll be definitely seeing some information coming out on them in the near future. They're off of kind of near the roundabout off of Highway 133. And, you know, they have state-of-the-art equipment. There's opportunity to do, you know, LED lights that you can really program to climb your route. And, you know, I can't wait to get in there and actually see the space. I saw the renderings, and it is unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, the whole ET Plaza area is, it's just one of the many, like, weird little hidden pockets of all these cool resources that aren't on Main Street, aren't on the 133 immediate corridor that people aren't necessarily aware of. Like when I sent you to do that story on Fulton's Gym, you got a little lost trying
to
find that.
Not only did I get a little lost, but then Jane got a little lost to photograph it. It was crazy. I was so surprised. And then here you have this just amazing place tucked away in what looked like an industrial park. I love Carbondale for that.
Yeah, it's definitely a little quirky in that regard. Certainly walking town. I have no idea what I missed because, you know, you get come back from, I did my Cowan section and then coming back along 8th, you got the Gianetti's, you know, kind of rental place going on there. And there's lots of little businesses that aren't necessarily right down in the commercial center. But I think we did a pretty, I'm taking full credit this year because I did not, you know, send Megan out. She was busy with some other stuff we'll get to in a moment here. I think we did a pretty good job of covering our bases and getting a sense of how town's looking. And it's looking good. I mean, you're 91, pushing 92%, you know, commercial occupancy rate. That's solid, especially since we're increasing. You know, that's the trend that I think people want to see. We'll see, you know, next year, a couple of years, we might see a slight reduction, actually, because we're building so much commercial, or at least there's so much that's kind of on the radar as a potential. So I'm enjoying tracking this. The process can be a little slow, but but it also gives me a chance to just check in and see what's going on in town that's not necessarily on my day-to-day radar, because some businesses are a little better at keeping themselves in the news than others are. So just let that
be. It would be like a fun, like a scavenger hunt. Like you could do like a business scavenger hunt or something. But it's really cool because I just wanted to add, too, you know, looking at that map in the paper, it really, you know, follows the creative district mapping, if mm-hmm. you will. And I think that the creative district really speaks to all of these current and, you know, new businesses that are opening up. And, you know, I think it really just encompasses all things Carbondale. I mean, the arts, the dining, I mean, the fact that we had yoga on Main Street on First mm-hmm. Friday, I just think that, you know, it really is a sign of, you know, that forward progress, I think, of Carbondale, still keeping it, you know, Carbondale.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and Sober Sun's a member of the Creative District, KD&K. It's really a lot broader, I think, than people first realized. Creativity, you know, food, you know, being a chef is about as creative as it gets, right?
I mean, you're working with a canvas and your paint and a certain element of that, and the association is very similar, so.
There you go. We're kind of moving into the second half of our show. I want to give our guests, if they want to drop off, a chance to say one last word and head out, or they're welcome to stick around until 4:30.
Yeah, I would just like to say we're feeling really welcomed to the community here and can't wait to serve all the residents around Carbondale at Roosters. So come and visit us. Look for us sometime in July.
All right. Great. Thanks.
Great. And I just also wanted to say thank you. And we're so excited. It's June and it's here. The rodeo starts tonight. And I think that's our official kickoff to, you know, the summer season with the farmers market and all of the other events taking point. So thank you for allowing me to be part of this conversation today.
Thanks, Andrea. Are you signing off, shall I?
I am going to sign off.
Okay. Yeah, she's up at an event in Aspen, so I hope you found a quiet room that was out of the way to make that
I'm
work.
I'm tucked away in a business center at the Taste of Aspen. It's a great concierge event, so we're just, you know, showcasing all things Carbondale up here as well.
Well, thank you for taking the time to call in.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one. Okay, so just to let you know, if you're just tuning in, this is Everything Under the Sun on KD&K, commercial-free since 1983. Underwriting on KD&K is an effective way to market your business, reach your friends and neighbors in the Running Fork Valley and beyond with KD&K's reasonable underwriting packages. Email Greg at kdnk.org. I'm Will with the Soper Sun. I got Megan, also of the Soper Sun, and part of the staff of the new Rooster Restaurant opening in the town space, still here in the studio with me. Megan, I kind of referenced this earlier. The reason you were not obliged to participate in the commercial inventory is that you went to 3 graduations over the last weekend.
Yes. Whew, we did it. And I do mean we. I was so impressed with the commercial development piece you did, honestly, because I liked seeing the numbers. I think sometimes there's some perception as to the health of a community, and being able to see the numbers is very cool. So thank you for that. But we did. We went to 3 graduations, which started on June 1st, that Friday evening over at the Orchard with Bridges High School. And that was a really heartwarming graduation, I have to say. I think most listeners know I also tutor SAT and ACT, so I definitely am familiar with that realm. And that was a really neat ceremony. It was the first time I had been to any sort of registered with the state of Colorado alternative high school. I didn't even recognize that as a thing. And I really liked learning about that for this story. And the amount of pride, of course, there's always pride, right? There's always a sense of accomplishment in a graduation, but the amount of pride in that room was just palpable. And you could just, I mean, so many shout outs weren't things like, you know, oh, thanks to so-and-so for pushing me to be my best. It was thanks to so-and-so for keeping me from dropping out. Thanks to so-and-so for keeping my eye on the prize when everything around me seemed just like a mountain of obstacles. And those kids did it, and it was neat. And that was really, really cool. And I was also so appreciative of Colorado Mountain College, too, because it was so neat to hear how many of those graduating kids were planning on continuing their education through CMC. So it's a very, very cool resource network in terms of education that we have in a little town of fewer than 6,500 people.
So yeah, yeah.
I thought that was neat. And then the next morning at CRMS, CRMS had their graduation. And I think it was the most beautiful graduation ceremony I have ever seen in any context in any state. I mean, it was just picturesque, idyllic. If I was a photographer for the glossy magazines, it would have made the cover. And that was really lovely and showed a lot of the diversity too. So it was neat to go and sit, and they had, you know, the tent all set up and the, I think, very similar chairs that I'm renting for my wedding, folding chairs setting up, and off to out in the field in front of the bar. And you had students that were just dressed to the nine. It was very cool to see them in their pastel suits and summer dresses. And they were the only ones that opted not to have graduating caps. They were wearing flower crowns, if anything at all. And so it was just kind of that cool experiential learning school. And that was reflected in all the commencement speeches. Just, you know, they kept talking about this trip or that trip and how it was the most rainy thing ever. And they're still talking about it. But, you know, that's a different kind of adversity that pushes kids out of their comfort zones and also teaches very similar lessons in terms of perseverance and just making it work. And so it was neat to, I think, between those two schools, see that immediate diversity. And then also the commonalities that also rang true later that afternoon at Roaring Fork High School, which was a little bit more of a traditional public high school graduation, right? And by far the biggest, you had 71 graduating kids, whereas I think CRMS had 47, and I'm going to get this number wrong. I want to say Bridges was 33, but I don't have a paper in front of me. So it was also neat to go in this cascading, you know, graduation ceremony weekend that was continually getting bigger. So the energy just kept getting bigger. And that was really, really cool. And with a bigger student body at Roaring Fork High, you know, the diversity in the student population was shown. And I think what was fun for me was the students found a way to show their diversity and personalities with their graduation caps, I think more than I had ever seen back in my day. You know, we didn't decorate our caps. We just wore them and threw them.
Really, the tassel thing to even one side to the other.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
I think it was beginning to be a thing when I graduated 10 years ago, but it was like, the artsy people did that.
Right.
There was no expectation that anybody, you know, as with poor hand-eye coordination like myself was going to be expected to get into the crafting.
Right? No, these kids did. My goodness. You had, you know, glitter paint and messages, por mi familia, you know, for my family.
Well, that's Bridges, right?
No, that particular one was on Bridges, but you had a lot of Spanish messages on Roaring Fork High caps too. And, you know, one kid had, I guess he's known for his Crocs. That's just his personal statement and accessory of choice. He literally had a pair of Crocs like glued to the top of his graduation cap. I mean, it was, and you also had a couple of students that came in, you know, American Indian headdresses to celebrate their heritages. And I thought that was really, really neat. And again, the commonalities across the board in terms of the wisdom nuggets that were bestowed onto students from all of the faculty across the board. It was really neat to see that even though you had, you know, three very different educational experiences and institutions, it turns out that, hey, keeping your eye on the prize and believing in yourself and avoiding credit card debt, it turns out, is also something, right?
No matter who you are.
No matter who you are, right? Yep. And so I thought that was really neat. It was a cool juxtaposition to see the diversity and the universality of ending that really momentous chapter and looking ahead at what's happening next.
Yeah. Seems like, you know, I don't know about you, but it seems like my experience is everybody sort of has a dim view of the next generation. And that's simply not what I encounter when I'm in the schools. I wandered by Project Graduation the last, this evening. It was the evening after graduation, it was well attended. You know, there was a gambling going on, but that was the parents' idea, you know.
Right, right.
And, you know, this class, I've just confirmed with Kelsey Goodman, hasn't even done a senior prank that we've seen. Like, these are kids who view themselves as the worst class ever. They've taken that moniker on themselves.
Yep.
and yet they, you know, they're still getting scholarships and going out there and doing their thing. And
even like Rams Day, right, when you see them out doing that community service. I mean, I really, really appreciated the faculty commencement speech that said, you know, you guys, you're like a tree. Your roots are always going to stay here. And he really did credit them with being an inherent part of this community. And I think he was kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I know you guys call yourselves the sinking seniors, but you're good kids. And I'm glad you point that out.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not exactly sure how much time we have here. We're definitely playing something a little bit later here, but I have to find it. Just a couple quick things. I had the pleasure of sitting down with the DeBeck family on Sunday and you know, spending several hours talking with them about Wally. And hi, Amy. She just walked by. We've lost some really prominent people in our community in the last few months here. Wally, Fred Haberlain, John Lawyer. We had an obituary in this week. Wally and Fred are both being honored on Saturday for Memorial Day services or memorial services. I'm not exactly sure what the plan is on as far as John, because I think he's already had one kind of private event, and I think there's a memorial planned at some point, but we'll keep you informed on that. It's bittersweet, you know, none of these folks, well, I guess Fred was pretty young, but certainly Wally can't be said to have passed early from us.
And he fully utilized his almost century. I was blown away at all of the accolades. I was laughing with Aaron as I was reading, like, oh my gosh, this guy has done everything. He's done everything.
Yeah, it's something else. It's kind of an interesting contrast then with, it's that thread back to when Tejo's wasn't even a thing, when, you know, as Wally said, this town didn't change at all for a long time for most of his childhood, from the 30s into the 50s. And, you know, then he kind of helped enable folks like Bob and Kathy Ezra at the Crystal Theater and Lori Loeb, find their niche in town and settle in and make roots that are now real deep. We have to acknowledge those changes as we move forward and celebrate things like, you know, the Rooster, which, by the way, what's with the naming, after animals? We got the goat, the pig, the rooster. Now, if Lacey chooses something for Silo that's animal related, it's going to get real confusing.
Right. That it is. You know, we got the barnyard here and, keep it fun.
Oh, that would have been a good quote.
Yeah. Oh, dang it.
All right. We'll find a way to
I'll
abuse
help out
that
with those
pun
every
at some
now
point.
Yeah,
we appreciate the puns. All right. I'm gonna sign off here and try to figure out what comes next. And thanks for tuning in. And thanks, you guys, for being here.
Thanks so much for having us.
Have a good one.